Father, tonight we're so thankful that you've allowed us to worship here. And we know, Lord, as Pastor Jamie can't be with us, that if he's awake right now, that he's praying for us. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the love that Jamie has for this place and for these people. And Lord, the love that is in him because of the love you've placed in him. And Lord, as Keith prayed earlier, we pray for his total and complete healing. We pray in the name of Jesus that your hand of healing would be upon him, such that there would be no more flu, no more pneumonia in the name of Jesus. And we pray also for his family, that you would heal them, for Mildred. And we thank you for the strength that you've given to her. And Lord, we lift up and pray for Sam and Will and Molly and Allie, those four beautiful children, Lord, that you would remove any sickness from them. And Lord, we pray even now that Pastor Jamie would sense that we're praying for him, and that he would know that he is loved by a lot of people gathered at 3219 Nashville Road right now. Or tonight, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to us. We don't want to hear what I have to say. We want to hear what you have to say. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak powerfully into our lives and into our hearts. And, Lord, that we would respond to the message that you bring us tonight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen. Well, welcome, and we're glad you're here. And tonight, you might be like the guy we're going to talk about. You might just be like the guy we're going to talk about. As we continue going through John, we're going to turn over to John chapter 3 tonight. And this is the scene where Jesus teaches a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a highfalutin Pharisee. And so Jesus, we talked about last week, was kind of raising a little bit of a stink among the religious people. He was coming back, and God was doing amazing things through him, and they had heard, hey, this guy turned water into wine. This guy's been healing people. People are following him. What is he doing? And so the Pharisees' eyebrows were raised a little bit. And Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, and he just knew something was special about this Jesus, so he went to go see him. He didn't go see him during the day. He went to go see him at nighttime so that nobody else knew he was going to see him. And hey, you may be here tonight, and you've kind of snuck in the back, and you're kind of sitting far away as you can, and you're saying, I know there's something up with this Jesus. I'm not sure what it is. I'm going to go check it out. Well, we want you to know that many of us who are in this room started out the exact same way. Delina's up here nodding her head. If you've met Delina, she is not quiet, okay? She is loud. If you go to MasterCut, you'll hear her before you see the store. But you know what? Delina started out sneaking in to see, is this Jesus for real? And how many of you are glad to know that Jesus is real enough to deal with people who'd sneak up to him, even in the cover of night? And this is what Nicodemus is doing. And so we pick up the text, John chapter 3, verse 1. Not in Psalms, Reynolds, John. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How many of y'all have heard that phrase before? How many of y'all have turned on the news recently and heard that phrase? Right now, we're in an election. I mean, they're talking a lot about the evangelical vote. And who among born-again Christians is going to vote for McCain? And who among born-again Christians is going to vote for Huckabee? And who among born-again Christians is going to vote for Clinton or Barack Obama? Who are they going to vote for? And so this term born-again has become, in the last few months, really a political term to describe a group of people who give themselves and submit themselves to a certain religious movement. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's not what Jesus had in mind. Being born again is not a political affiliation. Even though there are some who would like to tell you, you do not have to be Republican to be born again. You don't even have to be Democrat to be born again. You don't have to be a part of the religious right to be born again. Being born again is something that is totally and completely different. Jesus didn't run for our votes. Jesus had great rhetoric, but guess what? He didn't rely on rhetoric. He relied on the power of God that was going in his life. Jesus didn't have to run. He didn't have to spend any money. He didn't have to campaign with anybody because the Father brought to him who was supposed to come to him. And he's here tonight. Maybe he's bringing you to him. You don't ever know. Here's what we know. You're not here by accident. If you're a believer in Christ, if you're not a believer in Christ, if you're just like Nicodemus sneaking up, you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. Whose purpose? God's purpose. No matter how you got here, whether somebody invited you or whether you just said, hey, that's a big church, I want to check it out. You're here because God wants you here, bottom line. And God's going to speak to all of us tonight. But what does it mean to be born again? Does it mean I get a new religion? You know, a lot of people believe that if you say you're born again, that you're a part of a certain religious movement called evangelical Christianity, right? And that means that you believe certain things, but I'm here to tell you tonight, being born again does not affiliate you with a religion. Any of y'all ever been to a tattoo parlor? Okay, some of us, good. By the way, there's a lot of people here who've been in tattoo parlors. We don't call that a sin. But you know what? The other night, I've never been because I'm way too big of a sissy. I mean, I don't like getting a shot, much less somebody drawing on me with a vibrating needle. I don't think so. I mean, you can keep it. Those of you who have them, you're tougher than me. I still take you out, but you're tougher than me, okay? I was watching this show last night called L.A. Ink, and it's about this tattoo artist called Kat Von D in L.A., Hollywood, California. And she was setting a world record last night. She was trying to tattoo 400 people in 24 hours, and she got it. That's great. But, you know, there was a guy who came in as a part of this show, and he walked in, and he was a bigger boy like me. And he walked in, and he had under his arm, he had this statue of a Buddha. And he walks over to one of the guys that works there, and he said, I want this right here. And I want this belly button to line up with this belly button. And he wanted Buddha on his belly. And I thought, you're crazy. Drawing on your belly with a needle. I don't think so, Scooter. Yeah. So he goes in, and this guy does. He traces it out, and for what it's worth, artistically, he does a phenomenal job, and he has this big Buddha on him. And while he's tattooing him, he looks at him and he says, why do you want a Buddha on you? He said, is that like your nickname or something? And the guy says this. He says, well, he said, it's really kind of funny. Because I do kind of look like Buddha. He was bald and big, okay? He said, I do kind of look like Buddha. He said, also, I became a Buddhist about 5 years ago. And I'll know every time I look down that I need to get myself on the way. And I thought, you know, he's serious enough about it to tattoo it on his body. And it was a big tattoo. And he's really trying. And I think that's admirable. But my heart was broken for him because he's been deceived. You've heard Pastor Steve say 1,000 times. You've heard Pastor Jamie say 1,000 times. Keith, everybody on this staff, religion won't save you. Especially here in the Bible Belt, man. We ask people all the time, are you religious? I'm religious. Are you religious? Well, here's the thing. God never called us to be religious. He didn't say, come be born again so that you can have a new religious affiliation. That's not it. Being born again is not a religion. This guy who got the Buddha tattooed on his belly, he's trying to live a good life. And you know what he's doing every day? He's failing. Those who follow Allah, who would be Islam, they try every day to live up to the standard given in the Quran. And you know what they do every day? They fail. They can't do it. Those who are Jewish, they try every day to live up to the Torah, the law. And every day they fail. And there are some in this room, you're Christian. You say you've given your life to Christ. And you try every day to live up to all the commands of God on your own power. And you know what you do? You fail. God hadn't called us to a new religion. Being born again is not political. It's not a new religion. Let me explain to you what it is. This Saturday, my wife and I, we went to our birthing, Lamaze Hu-He class. And we did all the Hu-He stuff. And they even made the fathers lay down on the floor and go, Hu-He, Hu-He, Hu-He. Thank goodness they turned off the lights because I look like a moron. Even more so than right now. But I did. It was bad. So I'm laying on the ground going, Hu-He. And this is the one where you got to watch the video, okay? So if you haven't seen the video, I'm not going to describe the video. Some of you have seen it live. I discovered anew what it meant to be born on Saturday. I didn't necessarily like all of it, but I saw it for the first time in a real life situation. And you know, barring all the details, what is delivered into the world is a little baby boy or a little baby girl. And you know what that kid is? It's a bundle of possibility. And so, Lord willing, on April 11th, Aaron and I will go to the hospital, and a bundle of possibility named Griffin will enter the world. And I don't know what he's going to be. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm not sure what he's going to look like. But all I know is that God has knit him together inside of his mother's womb. Now he's delivered out into the world. And the rest of his life is the revelation of what God's planted inside of him. It's a new life. Same thing with being born again. It's a new life. Some of us tonight, we're here because we're looking for a new beginning. We're here to tell you, don't join a religion. Get a new life. How many of you in this room, you didn't get a new creed? You didn't just find a new place to go on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights? Your life is shaped and changed. Speaking of tattoos, I had a woman come by today who's got a tattoo on her body from her old life, and it means something ugly, she said. I don't know what it looks like. She wouldn't show it to me. But what she's going to do is she's going to get a cross beside it, and then she's going to put a tattoo symbolizing her new life next to it. Because she is no longer who she used to be. She's got a new life that's shaping everything about her. When she was born again, what was planted in her was the Holy Spirit of God. And so now as she continues to grow in Christ, guess what comes out? Who God's remade her to be. Now that she's forgiven of sin, now that she's cleansed, who God has remade her to be will come out. Things will come out of her like love. And joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Because that's what the Spirit of God puts in us. His fruit. You're not joining a political system. You're not joining a religion. It's a new life. And so Jesus says, unless you have the new life that I have given to you, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Great question. Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Can I show you a quick demonstration? For those of you who know me, you know I'm a dork, okay? I'm a big nerd. In school, I was a big nerd. I was also a jock. I was a nerd jock. It worked out. The only thing I couldn't do was play an instrument, so I wasn't in the band like Pastor Keith and Pastor Steve. But I was on the academic team. I'm not going to lie. And I played football and whatever else. But I was a physics guy. Loved physics. In physics, they taught me something, okay? They said that an object falling to the ground that is released to free fall will fall at 9.8 meters per second squared. So that means that if I drop this rock, that every second that it falls, it will accelerate at 9.8 meters per second per second. Okay, that's how fast it goes. They said it doesn't matter what the object is that you drop. It all does the same. And so let's do an experiment right now. Here in this hand, I have a rock. It's a normal rock, regular rock. I picked it up outside. Some of you saw me run out and get it right before I came up here because I forgot it. On the other hand, I have something we're all very familiar with at this moment of time, with the flu that's going around. I have a tissue, okay? Now, the natural way of looking at the world, physics tells us that if I drop these two items from the same height at the same time, they'll hit the ground at the same moment of time. Okay, you believe it? No? Well, I'm not going to ask you why. Let's just try it. Here's a little experiment. You ready? Physics says the natural way of looking at the world, they're going to hit the ground at the same time. Here we go. Ready?
One, two, three.
What happened? Huh? Yeah, the tissue was slower than the rock. That's exactly right. And I cracked the stage, apparently. What happened? Physics says, the natural way of looking at the world says they're supposed to hit the ground at the same time. There's a corollary to that, unless a force acts on it. And a force acted on both of these, but it acted on them different. Rock, it didn't make much difference, but for the tissue, it made a world of difference. Air. Air kept the tissue from hitting the ground at the same time. Y'all see any air? Do you see any air in here? Try to grab some air. You get it? Do you feel the air? I don't feel any moving. That's why I'm kind of breaking a sweat right now. Do you feel it? No, it's just air. But it's there and it's powerful enough to make a fundamental law of physics not true. It's the same with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Being born again is not visible. It's not visible, but it can be seen. I know Delina's born again. I didn't see it happen. I didn't see that moment where the Holy Spirit came into her life, cleansed her of her sins, and gave her a new beginning. But it's visible. Why? Because you know what she does? She does this every week. She goes and she buys 3 DVDs. And she does 3 things with them. First one she keeps. Second one she gives to a friend. Third one she gives to somebody she doesn't know and invites them to church. You don't do that unless something's happened to you. You don't do that unless the Holy Spirit. Some of you rough, tumbling men. Mike Stewart, you could kill many of us in this room. I mean, you're strong, but you don't. Even when you're wearing your kilt and you're banging on the drum, you don't do it. Why? Because something has acted on you that nobody could see, but we can see it now. We can see what the Holy Spirit's done in you. Some of you, you're wondering, is this Jesus thing for real? I cannot see him. God, show me a sign. Well, you may not get a sign. But here's the truth. What you can't see can do more in your life than everything else you can see on this earth. What you cannot see that is here in this room right now can do more in your life than every substance on this earth. He can give you a new beginning. He can give you a new hope. He can give you a new life. What we ask you to do as ministers of the gospel is absurd. We ask you to believe and put your trust in something that you can't see. But if you'll do it, oh, your life will change. Your life will change. Let's just continue on. Verse 9, Nicodemus asked, how can this be? Jesus says, you are Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. This week's been a rough week in the life of our church. We've experienced 5 deaths. We've had 2 serious illnesses. Pastor Jamie, we didn't think it was a big deal, and it got serious pretty quick. I mean, he's got bad pneumonia, but he's getting better. That's the great news. He's getting way better and should be going home soon. But it's been a tough week. And you know, as we faced this tough week, as we went to the hospital with a gentleman who we all know and love, and the question starts being asked, is he going to make it? And he's still making it thanks to the miraculous power of Jesus Christ working in his life. Nobody asked what version of the Bible he read. Nobody asked what he believed about all these ethical issues that we believe in and talk about and spend all this money discussing in public forum. Nobody asked what denomination he was a part of. Nobody asked what church he went to. You know what they asked? Is he born again? Every time we go to the funeral home, it's, is he born again? Is she born again? Because that's the issue. It's not all this other stuff. That's peripheral. The issue is this. Do you have the new life that only Christ can give? Every time. A few years ago, and I'm going to tell this kind of in conclusion, we didn't have Wednesday night worship for some reason. I don't remember if it had snowed or actually it may have been the week after Christmas and we were off. But I'm at home, and this is before I'm married, and I'm laying on the floor of my house taking a nap. That was back when I ran, so apparently I'd gone running and then fallen down to take a nap on the floor because I was too stinky to get on anything else in the house, right? I don't do that anymore. I'm married. My wife makes me shower. But my cell phone rings at about 7:45, and I get a call, and it's this guy I've never heard of. I'm not going to tell you his real name. His real name doesn't matter. Let's call him Rodrigo, okay? Rodrigo calls. I've never talked to Rodrigo. I have no idea how Rodrigo got my cell phone number, but he did. Well, he calls and he says, "Hey, this was the first time I was going to come to church and nobody's there. What's up?" I'm like, "Sorry, man, we're not meeting this Wednesday night." He said, "Well, I got your number from somebody else that had showed up there, and I wanted to call you, man, because I need to get some things straight in my life." And he starts telling me, he said, "You know, I've been in California for the last 10 years of my life, and I've been making tons of money because I've been selling a ton of drugs. And drugs get you quick money if you can do it right." And he said, "I've been using the same things I've been selling, and life's been great. Women to the right, to the left, everywhere you look, life is great." So then one of my buddies kind of ratted me out, and I didn't get caught, but I got busted by another guy in the business. Everything I had has been taken from me. I've come back here. I have nowhere to go. I have a small Chevy S10 truck that I can sleep in. I got nothing. And I need you to tell me something good that can happen in my life. I said, "Well, buddy, I'll give you what I got." So share the gospel with the guy. You know, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, man. But there's a problem. You've sinned. I said, "Do you believe you've sinned?" He said, "Oh, man, I know I've sinned." He said, "I sin every day of my life, and I made a lot of money off sin." I said, "Yeah, but that sin, it separates you from God. And it's going to lead to an eternal reality where you have to pay for your own sin in hell." But man, there's good news. The good news is that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son who came and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross so that you could be forgiven of your sin. Third day he rose from the grave. He's alive today. And he said, "If you will come to me, confess that you've sinned, repent of that sin." That means turn away from those things that are killing you. "And receive me into your life. I'll give you a new beginning. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new hope, a living hope that won't fail you." And here on the other end, this guy's, he's sobbing. I said, "Man, is that what you want to do tonight?" And he said, "Yeah." So he prays, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. I confess that I've sinned. Forgive me of my sin. I'm done with this life that's killing me. I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. I know you got something better." And he prays, and I said, "All right, the next thing, let's get baptized." Baptism, I said, "You're not just getting a ticket out of hell. You're pledging your life to follow Christ." And he said, "Follow me." And that first step of obedience in following him is going up into those waters and professing, "Jesus has saved me." He said, "Okay, so..." Couple weeks pass, he gets baptized. What a powerful experience. A man whose life was so mired down in sin, now set free because of what Jesus has done. About 6 months later, he came by the office one day. He wanted to show me his new truck, and so he showed me his new truck and went back and sat down. And he said, hey, Pastor Jeff, there's something I've never told you about that night when I called you last January. I said, "What's that, man?" He said, "When I called you, I had a 45 laying in my lap." He said, "You were the last ditch." And he said, "I'd come to the point where if you didn't tell me something that I wanted to hear, then I was done." And as all the blood runs out of my face, and I sit there amazed at what this man's telling me, and I see him still sitting there, stopping by to show me his truck, I'm reminded again of what this new life is. If he had just been given a religion, he probably would have ended it. Because you see, with religion, there is no hope. But because of Jesus, not because of me, because Jesus touched his heart that night and caused him to be born again and gave him a new life, a new beginning, a new hope. He was sitting there telling me about his truck. He had been clean and sober for 6 months. His life had taken a turn. Why? Because he was a new bundle and God was bringing out the possibility. You can't see him tonight, but he's here. The Lord Jesus Christ is in this place. And he may be calling out to you right now, hey, there is a new life for you. Not a religious experience, a new life that only I can give you. Nobody else can give it to you. There's no other religious system that'll give it to you, this new life that is everlasting. They all fail. But I will give you this life. You say, well, I can't see him and I can't hear his voice. Oh, just look around. Look around and see the people like my buddy Ronnie, whose lives have been totally transformed. For those of us who've tasted of the new birth, we know there is nothing sweeter. I once was blind, but now I see, all because of Jesus. I once was dead in sin, but now I live, all because of Jesus. I'm not what I used to be anymore, because of Jesus. And so tonight, we're going to invite you to trust the one you can't see. You've heard the gospel. As I told you about sharing it with Rodrigo, I was sharing it with you. And I want you to hear this tonight. God wants to do something great in your life. We're asking you to submit your life to Christ, to say, Lord Jesus, I confess I've sinned, I've blown it. But Jesus, I want you to come into my life to forgive me of all my sin, not some of it, all of it. To make me a new creation, to birth me again. To give me a new beginning that lasts forever. We're going to invite you to come and do that tonight. Maybe you need to be baptized. Come, let's make that call tonight. And tonight, if you've tasted of the new birth, come and do this. The Bible says that God loved the world so much, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So tonight, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've been baptized, and you just need to come and know that there is therefore now no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. And you need to let God speak that into your heart. We're going to invite you to come. So will you stand with me? We got a couple minutes, and so this is going to go quick. But please don't miss this opportunity to let the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who you can't even see right now, totally change everything about you and give you the new life you've been waiting for. Lord Jesus, this altar is yours. Speak into our hearts whatever you would have us to hear, whatever you would have us to know, and Lord, may we be obedient to that. For those who are looking at a sign, for a sign, may this be the sign that you're in this place. Lord, birth us again. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Please come. Please come.